fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. We continue to walk through this major season of the church year, the time between the celebration of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, and the anticipation of the celebration of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the birth of the church. And in between those as well is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I'd like to do today is take up a section from Acts chapter 2, which is the story, the telling of the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, as some of you may know, a little bit of background on it, Pentecost was a Jewish feast. It was an annual Jewish feast that celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. God gave to Moses, who then gave it to the people, and their lives were shaped around that law. And also it was a harvest feast, celebrating the ingathering of the harvest. And so Jerusalem was filled with people from, you'll see later, the passage in Acts 2 will describe, representatives from all 12 tribes of the people of Israel. The Jews were present at the celebration of Pentecost, and that's the time when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and Luke situates it right there in the context of that feast, because the giving of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of that feast, and essentially the fulfillment first because we'll see it has to do with the giving of the law. And Jesus came to give what? A new law, a new covenant. And we'll talk about what that is today, but also he came to give the Holy Spirit to gather in a harvest, not a harvest from the field, but a harvest of souls. So I'd like to break that down today. There's a key passage where St. Peter, starting in verse 14 of chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit had come down upon the apostles in the upper room, they began to speak in tongues, they began to experience the presence and the power of God, and they went forth from there in the power of the Spirit, and they began to preach the gospel. And the first one to preach is Peter. And there's a miracle of hearing that goes on, a kind of gift of tongues where Peter preached, the apostles preached, and people, even though they had from many and various backgrounds, different language groupings were present, they all heard Peter and they all heard the apostles preaching in their own language. So it's another sign of the opposite of, remember the Old Testament story of the Tower of Babel, when God judged those who had built the tower as a symbol of their power. They were going to reach up to heaven and the Lord scrambled their language and they couldn't communicate with one another. This is just the opposite. Everybody can hear and understand because God is establishing his throne. God is establishing, if you will, his tower. He's planting his flag. He's building his kingdom and he's gathering people in and they're able to hear them. It's God himself who's reaching out through the apostles in this important time. And to see it and the importance of the time is something that comes out in this passage. Everybody's amazed at what's happening with the apostles. They seemed mighty in the Lord, but also people said, wow, they look like they're drunk. They're just so different what's happening with them. The Holy Spirit on them, in them, manifesting himself. And speaking in tongues and the rest also impacted them. So here's what they're saying in verse 14. It says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. He said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. So there's the commotion, big crowd of people. Peter stands up. He's the first among the apostles. He stands up to interpret for them what it is they're seeing because they're trying to figure it out. They've never seen anything like it, especially from ordinary people like the apostles. So Peter says, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. So let's give an ear this morning and listen to Peter. Put yourself in this situation and imagine him speaking to you directly. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So now Peter's going to interpret their experience through the words of the prophet Joel and saying, what you're seeing is the fulfillment of what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And the apostles will later in the Acts will make references to other prophets prophesying the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Messiah, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so here we have, at the birth of the church, St. Peter defining and explaining what's happening from the prophet Joel. Verse 17 here in Acts, he says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." What we see here is a description, what we hear is a description of the whole reason Jesus came. This is why the Catholic Church was born. This is why the Catholic Church, the Christian community, this is why we exist. Christianity is an action of God. The day of Pentecost, God breaking in, fulfilling his promise, his prophetic word through Joel, that his intention, his coming in the flesh, his dying and his rising and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, the purpose of it was to fulfill this prophecy. "And in the last days it shall be," God declares, "that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Why did Jesus come? Why did he die? Why did he rise and ascend to the Father? So he could pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Why did Jesus take on human flesh? So the life of God, the Spirit of God, could be poured out on all flesh. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross for that outpouring to take place? Because of sin. Father Conte La Mesa, the preacher to the papal household, often put it this way, that sin's nearness to us provokes God's remoteness. God, who is holy, cannot be united to what is unholy. The reason we die is we're separated from God because of sin. Jesus came to destroy sin's power. He became a sacrifice for sin. He became a sin offering on our behalf. And St. Paul tells us and others that he cleansed us with his blood. He cleansed us, why? So that he could save us by pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. The church exists to be that conduit in the world, that means by which that grace of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, this word prophesied by Joel is fulfilled in the ministry of the church. What does Jesus want to do with you? He wants to pour out his Spirit upon you. Jesus said himself in John 3, "Unless you're born again of water and the Spirit," he wants you to be born again. He wants you to come to life, to a new life, by sharing in his life, which is the Holy Spirit. He told the apostles on the day of the Ascension, we'll celebrate the Ascension later this week, that is his rising literally to the right hand of the Father in heaven with all glory and power. Before he left, he said, "Remember, John baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." What's he talking about? Exactly what Joel said. God's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. That's what Jesus means by baptizing you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, if you ask the question, why did Jesus come? He came to save. But how does he save? He came to baptize in the Holy Spirit. He came to make it possible for you and for me to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a share in God's own life. And when the Spirit falls, as the Apostles shows us, the Spirit is known through his manifestations, through the fruit that we bear, but also through the kinds of things that Joel is describing here. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, it said. And I will show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below. The prophet Jeremiah also anticipated this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the new covenant that was coming forward in the Lord's offering of his life and his rising and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In this outpouring of the Spirit, the apostles are experiencing here on Pentecost, is the new covenant. The new covenant is God's life given to us. From Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." How does he forgive our iniquity? Through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And he remembers their sins no more. And what he was doing in the people of Israel was a type, was a foreshadowing of what he was going to do in his Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of the whole world. Not only was he forgiving Israel, but he sought to, in his plan, in the fullness of time, to forgive the whole world who was in alienation and sin and separated from God, to gather them all in. Ezekiel chapter 36, prophet Ezekiel verse 25, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you." God will act to cleanse us. He will sprinkle us with water. Think of the waters of baptism. He will purify us by his power, because we cannot purify ourselves. He'll separate us from the idols, the things that are less than us, that we give our life to, our heart, our will, instead of surrendering and seeking God first, relying on something else other than God to lean on for our power and resource. Then he goes on to say in verse 26, "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to observe all of my ordinances." So the Holy Spirit put in the hearts of the prophets a word for the people of Israel, but a word that would be for the whole world and the whole salvation of the world. "I will make a new covenant with you. I will put my law in your hearts. I will give you my spirit. I'll put my spirit within you." What's the day of Pentecost? It's a celebration of the giving of the law. But God spoke through the prophets of a time when the law would not come on tablets of stone, but literally by his spirit. He would put a love for God in us. He said, "I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways." Pentecost is the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and that promise. And the Holy Spirit will continue to be poured out, in the words of St. Peter, because we're in the last days. He said, we're in the last days. And there's a fundamental purpose for the world in these last days that I want to take up on our program tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.